Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome to you all. I'm so thankful you chose to join me today for this episode of the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values than love devolve into the deep abyss of BS, which is bait and switch, and it can be other forms of BS, whatever seems to communicate the point well. When we're not loving, we're BSing. We're baiting and switching, or we're lying, or we're jiving around trying to make people think that we really are authentic. When you love, there's no trying to be authentic. Love is authentic. So you're here for my ongoing 5-year conversation about the power, principles of love. The power and principles of love can never, ever be overstated. They can certainly be understated, but they can never be over-studied, over-researched. In fact, I'm utterly convinced that there's a whole lot of especially faith folks who need to dive into the deep end of the purposes of love. I just said to somebody the other day, dive into the deep end of life. The shallow end is too busy and crowded, and everybody's whizzing around in the water, and you know what I mean, like all those kids are down there in that shallow end, or hey, some adults maybe down there just taking a whiz. Let's not do that. Let's get out of the shallow end, look over to the deep end. Let's make life a valued pursuit, a deepening pursuit, and not a shallow one. So to that end, I'm here to get you started off with a couple of purposes here that I do every No BS Bishop. One is I'll read and share with you, have you recite with me the creed that I wrote, Love's Creed. Then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. I just can't think of a deeper end of the pool than those two things right now to start us off with, all right? So, Love's Creed, it's a challenge, it's a contemplation, it's a meditation, but it's also a prioritization of how to live life. So, let me read it to you in total. Then I'm going to go back to it, have you repeat after me, so that you can catch the profound nature of it for how you organize your life, your relationships, and the way you think about the wide world around you. Here it is. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, as I read it today for you, I hope you can see that that's a tall order. I'm not suggesting this is some kind of easy peasy cotton candy run. This is a marathon, a mountain climb. So I want you to see it that way. And when you repeat after me, take the words in as much as you know how, soak them into your thoughts and meditation, and maybe there's one or two points of this that you just want to focus on for the week to come. I'm not telling you how to do it or not do it, but I'm suggesting it's a good practice to wrap your arms around. Okay? Here we go. I want you to repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there you have it. If you'd like a copy of it, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. You can request that. Or if you have questions or topics about love you want to send me, I really would welcome your input. Just helps me stay the course, make sure I'm talking to you at a level that's meaningful for your purposes in life. Now, speaking of purposes in life, how about us say the Lord's Prayer together? Such a golden treasure. Right from the mouth of Jesus, here's how you pray. And I'm convinced this most prayed prayer in history is a prayer offered to us from Jesus Christ. I mean, just saying those two, his name. Jesus Christ said these words when you pray. Why wouldn't we want to say it as he taught us, all right? Even if it's simply to stir our mind about priorities in life. All right, would you join me, please, in praying the prayer that Christ taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That just tastes like a good cup of coffee for me. And if you know me, you know I love coffee. And I love this prayer. If you don't know the prayer, that's a lot more common than you might think. If it's not a regular part of your routine, you're in the majority. So I urge you, don't put any kind of blame or shame on yourself if you don't know it by heart. Just rise and shine to it, listen to me pray it, agree with it, and maybe put your mind and heart to it to learn the Lord's Prayer. Well, I'm going to talk about a little bit of a basket full of nuts and bolts today about love. And I'm going to start with the proposition that love is a decision. It's a promise, all right? Love is a decision and a promise. Then I want to unpack that a little bit. So in terms of recognizing the profound nature of love, I believe it's important to stay aware that love is a trillion times more than a feeling. It certainly is a feeling. Love will produce some feelings. I would be suspect of love on my part or anybody else's if there weren't feelings around it. But love is not simply and only a feeling. Love is a decision. At some point, we decide that's what we're going to do. That's why I have Love's Creed here. It's a little bit of a boilerplate contract for you to sign and say, I'm alive to love. So that's the decision. I'm on this earth not to breathe, eat, and sleep to get energy so I can cause any kind of pain or hate. I'm here to love. That's a decision. I promise you feelings will come up around it. But if you live by the feeling of love, then you're going to be routinely confused and even sadly disappointed. Because when I love, when I truly love, I'm deciding a priority about what I do with my life, what I do with my thoughts, what I do with my relationships, what I'm going to do with what I work and how I play and whatever my task or priority may be in a given day. When love is a decision, not a feeling, I promise you it prioritizes life. It takes the panic out of life, puts life in a singular focus. And when feelings are trashy and miserable, love will hold you steady in the face of the trashy miserables that come along. And a show of hands out there, how many of you have had some trashy miserable come along, right? I know I have. And I'm quite sure all of you listening to me have had your own fair share of the miseries and the trashies that come along and just beat you up, push you around, and people can be unkind and rude and cold and distant and whatever else people do. But if you make love a decision in the face of that, I said earlier, love is a decision and it is a promise. So to that end, if everybody around you is just cold and distant, If you make the decision to love, then you've got a promise cooking inside your soul. I want to explain that for just a moment. Love as a decision is a promise, first of all, to yourself. This is where I stay. This is where I stand. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to see the world around me. And when people around me are folks that I've had higher expectations of, behave in any less fashion, that's not going to be my bag. Love is my promise, a promise to myself and a promise to others. If people get hateful with me, I promise you, I'm going to love them. If people get disgusted with me, and I've had a few, I'm going to stay with my promise. I promise to love you. Now, when I have the decision and the promise of love, there's no guarantee in that I'm going to be perfect. I want to make sure I say this one more time for emphasis. I've had the accusation made to me, right to my face. You preach about love, but you didn't love me. I heard it just not too long ago. Somebody sent me a private message just before they blocked me on Facebook. You talk a lot about love, but you didn't love me. And then they blocked me, which was odd and funny. And hurt. It stung me. But my promise doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. I'm in a process, not in perfection. I'm in a process to love. And I guarantee you, along the way of my process and my pursuit, there are going to be stumbles and bumps and falls and failures. And I may even get on the other side of it and have to go back to Love's Creed and say, whoa, buddy, I'm not on this earth for hate. And I do that. I really do. And I think it's important to give yourself space to fail. But never give yourself so much space you stay in the failure. You recognize the fail as temporary. And temporary is minutes, hours, maybe days. But don't let it become a lifestyle. The lifestyle of the failure to love is all around us right now. The United States of America is less united and just a bunch of states pitching rocks at each other. Right now, we're less united than I can remember ever in my 7 decades of life. I think we're due for a group of people who will promise to love no matter what happens. And they will live the promise of how love conquers everything. Love never fails. Love will stand up when everybody else has fallen down. So love's a decision and a promise. I'm telling you, if it was just a feeling, well, then we would all be lost in an ocean churning about with feelings. But I'm convinced that while feelings will come and go, how I promise and what I decide is the steady North Star. It's the steady GPS for my soul. I'm not acting based on what happened today or yesterday or what might happen tomorrow. That's just too flimsy. I can't stand on that thin ice. I've got to stand in the promises I've made, in the decisions I've made, and I got to stay there. I'm urging you to join me there. So to that end, I want to talk about, I told you I was going to unpack a few things here. I recognize that it's easier for some of us to make a promise and a decision about love than it is for others. And it's been easier and it's been harder for me along the way of life based on something I know about myself and I know about all others. I know this, that in everybody I'm talking to right now, including the guy who's doing the talking, me, there's an inner child. There's an inner little boy, an inner little girl who didn't get loved, wasn't given the kind of love as a child you deserved. And I mean it, you deserved it. Every little child, every little girl, every little boy deserves the richness of love. Now, the painful fact is not all of us got the kind of love we deserved. We got shortchanged. I want to be careful to say that I don't think the majority of people who shortchanged us intended to shortchange us. I think they were simply living in their own inner child woundedness, and then they passed it along unwittingly. Now, a few people wittingly did it, and it's sad, but that's true. But most people are just given the best they've got on any given day. And to that end, every one of us in our childhood were shortchanged. We went to the cashier and didn't have all the money we needed to pay for that gallon of gas, the gallon of gas to keep us going one more mile. I could sit here and tell you 100 stories of my own childhood, but one story that stands out absolutely just, I have like a half a dozen of these that are just short movies in my brain. And one of them was when I was a little guy, my older brother, 6 years older than me, had a relentless habit of teasing me. And I don't mean just the moment of an awkward push or an awkward word here or there. No, he would go after my foibles. He'd go after if I didn't have my hair combed perfect, if I didn't have my shoes shined, if I didn't, there was a lot of things. He would just dive in on it and just dig me and dig me and dig me and dig me and dig me. And I remember one time we were at some friends, family friends, my mom, my brother and I were, the three of us were visiting these family friends. And he was, I guess, maybe 12 or 13, and that would have made me about 6 or 7. To that end, he just went after me. I don't even remember how it got started. Well, and it was in front of these other kids in this family, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, something in me triggered. And I stormed out of that house, and I just took off walking. I really didn't even pay attention where I was going. And the worst part about it, and that's probably the reason I remember it so vividly, worst part about it, I didn't have shoes on and it was raining. And I will never forget my soaking wet sock feet. And it wasn't cold, fortunately. It was in Milwaukee, because if it had been cold, I might have been in trouble. But I was chilled, not just from the wet feet wearing socks and 6, 7 years old, I was holding back tears and just trying to get away from the relentless teasing. But I think I was in a bit of a, I don't know, PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome kind of thing, where I had been living with this for so long, I popped. And I went, I didn't run, I walked away, and I found a little spot in a schoolyard, and I found a little corner in a spot where I could get in a little bit out of the rain, not a lot. And I sat down in on the wet pavement in that schoolyard, and I remember seeing my mom and my brother drive by looking for me. I mean, it was maybe 10, 15 minutes later, and something in me said, you're worried about me now. So all of that little story that I'm telling right now just tells you how my inner child is still in there. That doesn't mean I didn't resolve it. It doesn't mean that I commiserate over that pain a lot, but it is there. And I think every one of you listening to me has a story like that. You've got a moment that was just too painful to endure for the moment. And your inner child said, wait a minute, I'm not being loved right now, and I need to be loved. And you may have popped a cork, you may have gotten angry, and you may have started a fight, or maybe you just broke down and cried, or maybe you went and hid yourself in your bedroom or a closet. My point is this. Every one of us has some unrealized love as a child and going forward in life that needs some attention. We need to pay attention to that reality that is ours. Never, ever deny yourself the privilege and the respect of seeing your own pain and respecting it for what it is. Don't make it bigger than it is, but certainly don't make it smaller. You're a child of God. You're a child of God that you deserve the love that wasn't given, so that out of recognizing what wasn't given, you can make a decision. Nah, I see I made full circle. I hope you recognize that. You can make a decision to, no matter what happened to you, you're going to be a lover. You're going to make a promise to yourself not to join those who didn't love you as you deserved to be loved. It's a decision to see to it that even in your pain, you will love well. It's a promise to yourself that you'll use the struggles of your life as incentive, as a method of keeping on track to be alive to love. I'm not on this earth to cause pain. So in that decision and in that promise, be the grown-up for somebody else's inner child. Hey, be the grown-up for your own inner child. When I got in the car with my mom and brother, back to my story, my mom was, she wasn't angry with me, but I could tell she was not happy with me either. But I could tell that she knew I was only responding to what was happening in the situation. And for one of the few times in our family life, my mom took out after my brother verbally and made it clear to him he was going to apologize for driving me out that door with his teasing. And he did apologize for that particular moment. So be an adult. Be the adult in that situation. And hear me carefully. The adult in that inner situation that's still alive in you. And be your own best parent. Be your own best adult. If you've had some tough memories like that, well, then get inside there and parent your inner child. Be a good friend to your inner child. I've often told people, and you've heard it before, I'm sure, that you wouldn't talk to your best friend the way you talk to yourself. You wouldn't beat up on your best friends or people that you care about, your spouse or your children, the way you often beat yourself up. Make sure you parent your own inner child with the kind of tenderness, the kind of love, the kind of sweetness that is that's yours to enjoy. I think, yeah, you could go overboard on this and not be self-disciplined, but I don't know. I think most of us have enough self-discipline to last us a little while we parent our inner child and take good care of being loved, even if you have to do some solid self-love that keeps you standing up straight and feeling like you want to go on in this big, tough, and ugly world. All right, I'm going to bring this broadcast in for a landing. I want you to join me in getting good and settled and making sure you can take a good, solid, deep breath. I want you to draw it down into your diaphragm, hold it up against your belly after you inhale, and just take it up to about the count of three if you can. So on the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. Make sure your feet are nice and flat on the floor. Your head is up straight. And you are just giving yourself an inner force. Just give your lungs that ballooning sense of breathing. All right? One, two, three. Fill your lungs. And exhale. Let's do that one more time. One, two, three. Inhale. Exhale. If you do that often through the day, you're going to give yourself a fresher mind, a fresher body, fresher emotions, help you make that decision to love and keep that promise to keep on loving. All right, the second thing I want to challenge you to do is something that I'm well known for, a bit infamous for. I let the waves run and in and out on this one, but I'm feeling the need lately. I'm gonna get real serious about telling you to join me in looking people in the eye and giving them the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language with full intentionality, awkward as it may be, startling as it may be. Tell somebody, I love you. I'm telling you who are listening right now, I know you can't see me, but I promise you I'm drawing a very clear focus to say to you, I love you. The reason this is hard to do is we don't practice it often enough. Or when we do practice it, we do it with shallow little squirt gun bursts. I want you to get rid of the squirt gun and grab a fire hose. Let's make sure we're filling the world with those three words. Let's make sure we're filling relationships with those three words. Let's make sure we're doing something, keeping a promise, making a decision about love, to just unsettle the us versus them nonsense that's going on in our world right now. Unsettling the just the cryptic hatred that's happening in our world right now. Let's rock that boat by rocking it with the power of the words singularly emphasized with each syllable. I love you. It's just three syllables, just the three words, but they could change the world as we go forward to make sure people are finding that our decision and our promise matters, that our inner child is not just living wounded and hateful because it's so hated, but because we've been rising to shine in spite of all the darkness that's come at us. All right, well, when I close here, I always tell you, remember, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we've got more time. Let's be present, be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa said once, go into all the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Well, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm Daddy Randy. And Daddy Randy just telling you right now, get out there and do something beautiful, folks. Ugly has had its day. Ugly is getting done to death, and it's getting done to death literally. Let's crowd the ugly off the planet. Let's crowd ugly out of the rooms we occupy. Let's crowd ugly, not by fighting ugly with ugly, because then ugly gets double ugly. Let's rise then shine and do something beautiful. Say to somebody whose pained face has had too much ugly done, look at them and say, you know what? You just look beautiful to me just the way you are. And give them a reason to smile. Fill the room with the shining light of love and beauty. Love and beauty will save the world. Thank you all for being here with me today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, calling you to join me in a revolution of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.